That was Maddie Jane, Only Gets Better, another quality YouTuber that Graham has found. Reporter Adelaine Ung is a long-serving member of our team, and she recently took a short holiday with her husband. Their plans had to change at the last minute, as happens occasionally, but it turned out to be quite serendipitous as they discovered an emerging destination that was new, exotic, and great value at present. But Adelaine warns it may not last, as this country could soon join the EU and everything could cost more, as she explains to Graham Kemlow.
It's great to have Adelaine back. And she's just returned from, I suppose, the Mediterranean, would you say, Adelaine?
I think of it as Europe and mostly maybe Southern Europe.
Right.
We covered Athens, Santorini, Albania, Amsterdam, lots of A's in there, just like the start of my name.
Yeah.
And it's even there's even a bit of a micro story as to, you know, how we even ended up in Europe, because our original destination was Dubai.
Right.
And the story behind that is because my husband had some, you know, health challenges and he just wanted a break. And March also happened to be my birthday month. So we thought, hey, you know, let's go away. And my husband just wanted to go somewhere where he didn't have to do anything. Like,
right.
Let's just book a fantastic resort and do nothing.
Sounds sensational to me. So you did fly via Dubai, though, did you?
We flew Qatar part of the way. So we went through Doha.
Doha, yeah.
We didn't end up in Dubai because I sort of started texting a friend who was a travel agent and said, hey, this place that my husband's been eyeing, you know, you always question your spouse's decisions. Like, is this going to be cool? Because this is such a water-themed resort and we're not going to be using a whole lot of their, you know, water theme parks and stuff like that.
You're
so I just didn't know whether it was
going
to be our thing. Yeah. Exactly. So she got back and said, hey, why don't you consider Albania? And I thought, really? Why Albania? And she said, Albania right now is an up-and-coming destination. It's a really good time to go because prices right now are really cheap. And when they convert to euro and join the EU and all of that, everything's going to be, you know, double the price. And right now, Intercon is building, Marriott is building. So it's an up-and-coming destination. So, you know, it'll be a fantastic
place.
Is it
even warm, though, Adelaine?
On the coast where she was encouraging us to go, a particular resort.
Yeah.
It was going to be warmer than in the city. So, that sounded great. It was kind of, you know, low to mid-20s, which was, you know, sounded great to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. And I thought, never considered Albania before. So worth exploring, I thought. And she was also saying, you know, after that, you can just travel up to, where was it? Dubrovnik. And just see, you know, movie-like places and everything. And she said Albania, you know, there were some places where that were as beautiful as the French Riviera without,
really,
you know, the high price tag.
Oh, my, this is a
so
hot
she
tip
kind of sold
got.
Us. Yeah, she sold us on that. And basically the seafood was going to be amazing as well. She had just been not too long ago. So she was singing the praises of this place.
Okay.
And then from there, we thought, well, since we're going all the way there, we might as well go to a second European destination. And we ended on Amsterdam. And because the route that because my husband has this, you know, sort of quirky side interest, which is in trying to hack airline routes so that you can get business class flying to as close as economy prices as possible. And he's pretty good at that.
Is that right?
Yes, he does.
Well, we better get him on the show if he can pull those sorts of stunts. It'd be a big audience for that.
Yes. So he's got that particular skill. I mean, it does take a little bit of research and everything, but he gets it. Like, it's amazing.
Okay.
It's worth the time, especially for long-haul flights.
Yeah.
And where his route sort of, you know, had his landing in Europe was in Athens. So we thought, okay, let's do a little bit of Athens as well. So it became this trip where we covered three cities and also as a surprise. My husband did not tell me, but he said, don't worry about Athens. I'm going to take care of it. I was a little bit worried because the people that I had asked about visiting Athens had told me that they, you know, a couple of them did not have a good experience because they found themselves staying just on the outskirts of the city, and their experience was that, you know, there was just, it wasn't that great smelling and, you know, it was just dirty and you had to be careful. And like they in fact opted to leave Athens early.
Okay.
And they thought that that was a good decision. So I was like hamming in this message to my husband saying, with Athens, you really have to know where you're going, like to enjoy the experience. So he's like, don't worry, I got it covered. And then 2 days before we left, he revealed that we were also going to Santorini.
Wow, well, that probably makes up for everything.
I know. I was like, I did not see that one coming. Right. And I'm like, okay, I remember like seeing the photos and everything.
That looked
fantastic. I had to go Google it and, you know, just to refresh my memory a little bit. I'm like, fabulous.
You need sunglasses, though. It's a very white place.
It is amazing. In fact, I had somebody tease and say, what if I put a black dot on that photo that you just posted? And I'm like, then the white police are going to come after you.
Yeah, exactly.
and I tell you what was the best decision, I think. It was an accidental decision, but it was going in the low season. So the timing of our trip was about a month before peak season started, and there was nobody. I mean, I was in Santorini and I didn't have to fight. There were no queues for nothing.
Oh, that's good.
It was amazing. And the price that we got for our accommodation was less than half of what you would pay in peak season.
Wow.
And restaurants, we didn't have to book, pre-book or anything. I'm like, this is amazing. I mean, the one thing that you do give up is that not all the shops will be open. In fact, when we were there, a lot of the shops along Santorini were closed. Maybe, you know, half or maybe even slightly more than half of the shops were closed.
Right.
And they were all getting painted or constructed to prepare for the peak season. But in the time that we had there, which was we had 2 days in Santorini, it's not cheap, basically. Mm. But we had two nights there and I was satisfied. Like, sure. You know, I was able to take my time in the shops. I had no crowds. I got the, you know, I bought the things that I wanted. And, you know, we were recommended places to eat where we just, I mean, I had the best chicken gyros. Is that how you pronounce it? It's that chicken, it's that bread wrap with chicken in it.
Yeah.
That was the best gyros that I have ever, like, tasted. That bread was just warm and, you know, it's like everything right about it.
Sounds beautiful.
And that was 550 euros.
You're kidding.
And there was only one other couple for lunch in the whole place. So I'm like, this is, I could not really, I was like pinching myself.
Was it warm enough? Like, how hot was it or how cold was it?
I think it was probably like 20, low 20s.
That's all right.
It's not too bad. And the place that we booked had a jacuzzi. And, you know, it's like you're just sitting out there, the jacuzzi's warm, and you're just staring out into, you know, the coastline.
Sounds beautiful.
And, you know, to my right were the blue domes.
Yeah, so, don't they fight to get up there for sunset? It's like it's a bun fight to get to the top of the hill.
There is what they call the castle end of Santorini, where is the recommended spot for catching the sunset.
Yeah.
So I went there. That was the most crowd that I saw. And there was probably, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 people.
Is that all?
But that's all.
Yeah.
So there was hardly, you know, that was hardly a crowd that you were fighting for. And that was what I really loved. I mean, if you want to, you know, another side to it, it's that in Athens, for example, we visited the Acropolis. And normally in peak season, it's 30,000 visitors per day.
Wow.
When we went, there was probably like 5,000.
Okay.
And the ticket was half the price, which is 10 euros. Otherwise, it'd be 20 euros to visit.
Well, that's a good tip, actually. You know, if the weather's not unbearable, it's not snowing or sleeting on you.
No.
Why not?
And it was actually warmer than I thought it would be. I packed, you know, gloves. I packed lots of heat tech right. woolies and, you know, a beanie and everything. I didn't even use them.
Right.
And I thought I was going to be layering 2 to 3 times. All I needed was my, you know, turtleneck and a good parka. And that was sufficient. And sometimes that was too warm. So I like it was unexpected, but I completely loved the experience. I especially loved that there were no crowds.
And did you come back rested? You've obviously had a few more stops than you had anticipated, but they were enjoyable.
They were. I think one of the biggest things that we did right was to hire a driver and guide.
Yeah.
I do not think that we could have covered as much as we did in Athens right. and also in Albania if we did not have a driver and guide who just knew exactly where to take us at what time. For example, we caught the changing of the guard in Athens.
Oh, right.
You know, for and he just knew, oh, look, you know, it's about the top of the clock and we're in this area, we're just nearby.
Yeah.
And so he was able to drop us off and said, this is the right time, just go for it. And you can't really take a, you know, I would have loved to take a photo with one of the guards, and the changing of the guard movement was just so mesmerizing. Mm. But our guide had a tip, said, I know this other spot where there's also these guards and they're a little bit less strict there. So so on we went, and he dropped us off to another spot where I could get a photo closer up with them, and, you know, they were smiling at me and everything. So it was
lovely.
You know, yeah.
You know, you can't buy that information, really. You have, I
yeah,
suppose.
Not without, yeah, not without a whole lot of. I guess you could spend a whole lot of hours on research and trying to find out what other people's experiences were. Find local experts or people who live there. You go on blogs, Facebook groups, etc., just to ask. I mean, they're very good at those things now, but it does take time, and that's something that we didn't have.
No, I get that. And if I'm in a city where they've got the double-decker bus, like Barcelona or Madrid in Spain, for example, I would jump on the double-decker bus, do the two-hour tour around the city, and then work out what I wanted to go back to.
Yeah.
But you've done it better, and I don't imagine there are double-decker buses in Albania. I don't know, but you found you found a guru, and he did a good job. I've done that in Singapore with a taxi driver who took us to his family temple and took us to his, not into his house, but to his apartment block, and they were killing chickens underneath the apartment. And, you know, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to see, but he was sharing a bit of his life, you know, so we enjoyed that bit. And it sounds like you've done a similar sort of thing. So overall, what was your best experience? Is Albania sort of stand out because it's different and a bit of a secret?
Oh, I had this conversation with my husband, and we thought there, and he said, you know, there was not one thing that we wouldn't go back and do again.
Okay.
So there were a lot of highlights. It's difficult to pick one. Albania was certainly very different just because of the, you know, the history and the culture. I mean, for example, our guide told us that he grew up thinking that Coke was bad for you, that it was American propaganda, that it was sent by the Americans to basically drug and slowly kill them off. So they didn't touch Coke for the longest time. So now they're like, you know, having this renewed,
passion,
enthusiasm. Not overly, but it's just this whole new world that they're experiencing, and suddenly they don't have to think. You know, it's like the opposite of everything that they were taught when they were growing up, which is something, to some extent we all relate to, but Coke. So it was just really interesting. And there were just other things about that culture where, for example, one in every 3 or 4 cars is a luxury car. But then they have a running joke that is, you know, basically says that Albanians will pay for these things, but then they'll starve themselves in order to pay for them because, you know, the status and all of that was so important to them. And another quirky thing I found out about them is, you know, we found that Europeans were, in Athens and in Albania, were pretty superstitious. So you've got the evil eye thing. Oh. Plus, in Albania, for example, there was this belief that if you had a doll that kind of looked like a witch, that you put in front of your house or your business or whatever it is, it would ward off the evil spirits. And then somebody said, oh, well, you know, well, that's not very attractive for tourism and or whatever it is. I can't remember what the conversation exactly was, but they've, you know, some of them have started replacing those witch dolls with teddy bears. So you will actually see houses with teddy bears propped up in front of the house. Oh. And I'm like, that is such a strange phenomena. So
absolutely.
We found ourselves, you know, navigating traffic with a herd of goats sometimes, which you can't, you know, usually you lose because the goat, the herd of goats will do what they want.
Yeah.
And then in the evening, we're back in this fantastic resort where, you know, the sauna is like top notch. It is amazing. The salt rooms and all of that. And right now, because of, you know, where Albania is with tourism, it's up and coming. Like the usual season, I think they would charge 50 euros to use all their saunas. And right now it's 10 euros, for example. Okay. So I'm like, yeah, we totally enjoyed the experience, enjoyed, you know, this kind of, it feels like we found a secret of being able to enjoy Europe for cheaper.
Yeah.
And we got the amazing experiences without the crowds. So, thumbs
up.
Well,
a good couple of good tips there from Adelaine.
Adelaine Ungner extolling the virtues of Albania in conversation with Graham Kemlow. And that brings our first hour to a close, but do stay tuned to J-Air 88 FM as we'll be back at 6 p.m. with more stories about the people and the experiences in food, wine, lifestyle and travel. We'll see you then for the second hour of Travel Writers Radio.
Song when you sing it out loud, there ain't no stopping or slowing down. Yeah, let's be wild and free. We are the wild, we are the free, and our fire burns.